It's finally coffee break, April 8th, 2020. Did I get the date right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, everybody. Nice to see you.
Last normal day before Easter.
I know. And I said it's finally coffee break, and I really meant it. Like, my coffee, my first pot of coffee for the day just finished brewing. It's been a mad morning here. And been on the phone constantly, and I got my PHP mailer, sent 1,500 emails, so I'd be proud of that. Worked real well.
For a little minute, I was imagining you were going to tell us that you got your first PhD.
So. Not this morning.
Yeah. You remember my friend who had the large radar, eh? He might join us today.
Oh, very good. Very good. Have you taken any phone calls recently?
Yeah, I got a phone call yesterday. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to my parents for a little break.
Oh, yeah?
They are inviting me for dinner. So
you're going to go for dinner in the middle of a global pandemic at your parents' house?
Yeah, it's my parents, and so they invited me, and they stay alone. So
I'd be saying no. I leave groceries on my mom's doorstep, and that's as far as I'll go.
One thing happened to me, Robbie. I got in contact with the local MPs, and I'm trying to sort out the problem I got. At the moment, it looks like they are going to talk to the health authority and organise something, allegedly.
And are you doing well? I see you're still with us, even though you didn't think you were going to be with us this week, Peter.
It's all day-by-day sort of situation. You know, you don't know if they're going to stop it or not, but I've talked to the MP, the local MP, to try to get some movement in that direction so they can have some equipment so they come and see me. You know, I've been doing my bit. He was Ian Paisley Jr., you know, the one with the father with the big mouth. I should say that, but anyway, but the best bit was, Robbie, you like this. I could hardly talk to him on the phone. My voice was failing all over the place. You know, his father's got a very loud voice. He shouts very loud. I said, I wish I had a voice like you. I really couldn't talk at all. But anyway, they're going to talk to the authorities, the health authorities, and hopefully something will be organised in a few days. I'll wait for the phone call to come.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes.
Good, man. Well, I hope they get you all sorted out. And we'll be thinking of you on the day when you're not here. We'll know.
Yeah. Well, probably end up in hospital. Yeah, have such a laboratory, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of phone calls, I got a phone call today. It was someone I didn't recognize the number, and he asked for me by name, and he wondered. And he said that it turned out that he's calling from Norway's by far biggest power company, wondering if I did work for hire. He had seen my personal website, and he liked it so much that he wondered if I was available for doing work for hire until December of next year.
Wow!
And then we talked a bit back and forth, and he asked me about some specific Linux technology and if I knew about Red Hat Enterprise Linux and CentOS and a few other things. I knew that, and then it turned out that the job is in our capital, which is 10-11 hours drive from here. Would be involved me in moving, and so.
Oh, you just got the house though, Solbu.
Yeah, and I'm not moving again until I until I get married. So until that happens, if that happens, and so I'm staying here. So I said that it if it involves me moving, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, what's with that? Every job offer I've ever gotten, it's like, okay, well, we need you to move to Calgary. Yeah. I'm not moving to Calgary. Nothing wrong with Calgary, but I love it here in Barrie.
Yeah. So, I mentioned that I'm sitting on the board of NUG, a Norwegian Unix user group, and he asked if I knew anyone there who would be interested in doing this kind of work. And then I remembered my friend who had the big red array. I gave him my friend's phone number, and he gave a call, and they are gonna. And he got sent an email after the call, because he called my friend, and after the call, he is going to send some an email with some details that he is going to look up and get back to them. So,
so when they called you, were they speaking in English with you?
No. It's the Norway's biggest power company, so it's in my language.
Which is?
Mitt språk, det norsk, og da høres det sånn ut.
Exactly.
Yeah. So today I actually turned down a job offer that I might actually know how to do. So
yes.
As far as it sounded like they were looking for some web developers.
Indeed. Cool. Well, hopefully an opportunity like that will arise that doesn't require you moving 10 hours away.
Yeah.
You know, you could have pulled that out of your back pocket, been like, look, we've proven this month that we can work from home, so I could work remotely for you.
Yeah, I said that if it involved, if one could do the work remotely, then I might be interested. So, but no.
Yeah. Yeah. So quick greetings to Solbu at the top left. We've got Peter at the top right. There's me in your bottom, well, middle left. And then we've got Agamotto in the middle square. BP9 on the right. And Bo.
Didn't even notice that.
Memory Droid at the bottom. Hey, guys.
How do?
Good morning.
Doing well over here, guys.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to move to Calgary either. Think about all the flooding.
Yeah. But it's just, I'm so tied down to here anyways. Like my family's here, I wouldn't uproot my children. So it's just not an option. These days, a lot of stuff can be done remotely, but companies like to have a rep at the location. So. Well, speaking of kids,
I'm in the same boat.
Anybody else here have young kids?
No.
No, I'm deliciously single. No attachments, unless you count pets.
Oh, how old are your kids?
The youngest is 17. Oldest is 23.
Isn't it wild when you have to say the youngest is 17? My youngest is 9, so I'm not there yet. Even that. So
they have finally reached an age where you can have a decent conversations with them.
Yeah, exactly. So with the kids, of course, we can't really do the Easter celebrations this weekend like we normally would. But our local code ninjas are actually going to be hosting an Easter egg hunt in Minecraft and Roblox for the kids. So it's like a free event that any kids can join in on the fun, and they've hidden Easter eggs all throughout the worlds that they've created. So that was pretty cool.
Nice. I saw a video of one of the Linux guys who does some video. They were reading some news, and one of the big schools somewhere in the United States, the students have made the entire campus in that game. I don't remember the name of it. Minecraft.
Mine test, yeah.
Yeah, they have made the entire campus, including all the interior and all the paintings. Well, and
I just thought it was really
they were attending school inside their classrooms.
Oh, that's so neat. Yeah. I thought this was just a neat way for a company to say, look, I know it's difficult with the kids stuck at home and everything, but here's something that we'll do. So they've got this 4-hour window where the kids can go on a virtual Easter egg hunt in the game of their choice. I just thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool.
We're seeing a lot of those kind of clever ideas coming out of some companies, you know, and it's just like, huh, why didn't I think of that? And that's a great, great thing. So there.
Why didn't you think of that for mind test, Robbie?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I can't keep up with the games.
What you could do is that you could design the new Cat5 studio in the mind test, and then you can have a guest attending in a virtual.
I think what we ran into when we tried that originally was that you can't stream video into mind test. So we couldn't have like a theater or anything like that. So.
But you must be able to use mind test as the background, though, right?
Yeah. Like we could sit on a green screen and make a virtual studio in MindTest. I did that. The Pixel Shadow early seasons, Tally was sitting at a desk in MindTest and the camera was kind of moving in and out. And it looked like she was sitting in a studio in MindTest, which was kind of.
Yeah, and Sasha did that same thing. Where
yep. I was just going to say.
The Enterprise.
That's right.
Yes.
That is by far the best episode yet. And I remember you were showing off a proprietary backup solution. But I love the way you did that. So it is by far the best episode yet.
Oh, cheers!
You should do that again sometime.
And by the way, Robbie, I think I remember asking you if you had tried flying out to the DS9. Model out there out in front of the Enterprise.
Yep.
I did. I don't know if you managed it, but I did. And all I had to do was to bump into it and that broke it apart. So, yeah.
Before it was protected.
Yeah. I mean, my point is that I got in the shuttle just like you tried to do in the telecast, right? In the netcast.
Oh, you mean in stage 9?
Yes.
Okay. I thought we were talking mind test. Yeah.
No. I got.
We had a DS9 in mind test as well on the Pixel Shadow. So.
I got it. Okay, I missed that. But so I got in the shuttle, flew out of the shuttle bay in the Enterprise, flew over the Enterprise, and then flew over to the DS9.
Yeah.
What looked like a real copy of DS9 was actually just a fairly small model, and all I had to do was to bump into it. And it broke apart in space. Yeah. That was good.
Oh,
fun.
That's amazing.
I was quite surprised. I thought, oh.
So that's why they stopped making more DS9 episodes, because you broke
it. I broke it? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. You just can't take me anywhere, can you? Really? You just can't.
Yeah, really. So, we had a new visitor here today.
Yeah, this is my friend who has the big red array that failed last year.
Oh, yes. We remember hearing about that. You broke all our hearts.
I finally made it.
I didn't catch your name.
Eric.
Hi, Eric.
So, for the last minute, I've been trying to get the Xbox Kinect to work with Debian, and it was a bit hard, but finally I got it, so it was a bit weird.
Oh, cool. So you're using the Xbox camera on a Debian machine to be able to join us on Zoom.
Yeah.
That is nice. Like some quarantine hacking. That is nice.
Nothing like keeping stuff from going into the garbage.
That's a Rube Goldberg machine right there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I can hear the European accent, but I'm sorry, I can't tell. Are you from Germany or from Norway? Where are you from?
Norway.
Very nice. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here, finally.
Me and Eric, we are coming from a country where our natural tongue is strong encryption.
Very good. Okay, fair enough.
Bo, we're going to have to ask Rosemary to keep it down over there, yeah?
Not married.
Hello.
Hello, my dear.
Step at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Please printing stuff on HP 4250.
You got to tell this girl about between 12 and 12:30 every day. She's got to keep it down. Keep it down.
Okay.
Even 9 and 9:30 Pacific time.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
No coronavirus. Forgive me.
Oh, we forgive you. No problem. Sorry, what's that, Eric?
I said that everyone is healthy. It's not like corona has been a problem.
Doing well here. Thank you. How about yourself?
Doing well.
I'm fine. I'm trying to get away from the people that are on the bus on trains and stuff.
Yeah, that's tough. If you've got to take public transit, I can't imagine. That makes it kind of difficult.
I'm so glad I have my own car.
Yeah.
I have to admit, most of our customers have been nice in keeping their distance and actually covering up and stuff.
Yeah. You still, there's always one in every crowd, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we're covered up and we have the masks and stuff at work.
There are always people that's like faking they have like corona and they're coughing and stuff, and the police is taking them in.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah, I went on a bus for some days ago, and there was suddenly a person that was screaming, "Corona, Corona," and he was coughing a lot, and people was like running out of the bus.
It's just not so funny, just guy.
No, it's not funny. Yeah, it's a good way to get attention, though.
And there'll be one red that breaks the rules as well. No, yeah, go, we'll grab it, we'll go.
It's exactly why we had to cancel April Fool's this year, because it's just too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't make those kinds of jokes.
Yeah.
Yep. So you know, I was wondering, Eric, do you want to tell the story about the famous red ray?
The raid, yeah, of course I can do that.
With your billions and billions of terabytes of video?
you can say it that way. Because it was like, I've been saving drives for some years, and I figured out that I wanted to add some more drives, and then suddenly the controller just said, "I don't want to be with you anymore." So it was like, what do I do? Because I thought it was all the drives. So I had to check, because I had one other controller, and it was like the same problem was there, and I was like, six drives dead. It can't be possible at the same time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right. But here's the question. When the drive is part of a RAID array, how do you check the drive without damaging any of the data on the drive? I guess you can check the drive individually, like the smart statistics, you know, or so.
But yeah, you know what I would do, BP9, in a case like that, is I'd be plugging it into an imager and checking the sectors, like see the smart codes, and then also see if there's any bad sectors that are causing a failure.
Now, it's not like you could plug it in as a second drive on a Linux box or something, because it wouldn't be mountable, would it?
But you could. You could check the integrity of the drive, and you could image it to a second drive. And then if you're able to make a successful DD, for example, to a new drive, then you'd be able to insert that that recovered copy into the array and reboot the array. And presumably,
but then you have to have a drive that is at least as big as the at least failed. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And in this case, too, I seem to recall, like, the assumption was that it was a drive issue, but then it turned out to be a controller, which, you know, at that point, it's like, oh, man, you've gone to so much work.
Scrambled in, scrambled out.
So it could be like the controller card could, like, I reached my limit, so I don't want any more drives.
Yeah, And what do you do if you've got dual drive fault tolerance and it shows that you've lost six? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So how you're a big do you do it in the category 5? Do you have different writes?
For our data storage?
Yeah.
I have, our server has 8 drives, which are broken into 2 arrays. Then I have an external, what's called an A-RAID 3500. And that is a RAID 1, essentially. It mimics a RAID 1, but it's a hardware device that you can eject the second drive at will, and take that off site, and that's your like your off site backup, and it just rebuilds anytime you insert a new drive. So I'm constantly, every week I swap that drive, and that has 10 terabyte drives in it. My external backup, the thing that I take off site, is Luke's encrypted, and it has 10 terabytes of storage. So basically more than enough space for all our video. And the arrays in the server are constantly backed up to that.
How long does it take to rebuild that 10 terabytes? Whenever you pop that drive out, put a new one in, it must take some time to rebuild.
Yeah, it would, because it's a sector-by-sector rebuild, which isn't... I think about the wear and tear on the drives, and technically that's not the best scenario, but it works. And I've yet to fail a drive, because I use NAS drives in there, so they're meant to be running all the time. Yeah. Honestly, I can't answer that, because what I do is I swap it at the end of the night, and then I take it home. So by the time I'm there next time, it's already done. I would presume it takes many, many hours.
It must do, especially 10 terabytes.
Exactly, yeah.
I thought my four terabyte drive was like taking less time, but it was like insert a new drive and just go to sleep, and when you woke up, it was like, oh, it's finished.
Yeah. What I do like about the A-RAID device, though, is that it is, because it's external hardware, it's not depending on the bus or the CPU of the server. So it's completely separate from that. So when you put in the new drive, it's running, it's able to rebuild that drive at full SATA-3 speed. Nice. So you're not having to go through any controller or anything like that. It's just a direct rebuild in the unit itself. So I think that makes
Eric, how much data did you lose? Do you remember?
You have to repeat that question. My hearing is not that good, so you need to speak louder.
If you remember how much data you lost.
I guess it was like 45 tera.
Yeah.
Ouch. How do you back up? That's the question, is how do you back up 45 terabytes?
I think he said 25.
25? Even 25?
No, yeah.
It's not like you can't use 45? My scenario.
Yes.
Is it 40?
45.
It was 43 terabytes of TV series and 1 terabyte of movies.
Yeah. I like to be able to like have it offline so I can watch it without the internet.
Yeah. I'm the same.
And then now you have about how much? 110. 78. Yeah. He had the drive array now has about 110 total terabyte storage, and he has allocated almost 90.
Unreal.
So
that's huge.
Johnny told me to like start watching stuff and not like just fill it up.
So how do you back all that up? I mean, I also have a RAID storage, but I back that up on a separate. I have two separate 10 terabyte drives that I swap out when I back them up. I back up to one. Then the next week I swap it out and back up to the other. And then the next week I swap it out. So it's constantly rotating the backup drives. Yeah. But 10 terabytes is enough for me to store everything that I've got on my RAID box at the minute.
I can't do that
with 100 terabytes or 40 terabytes or anything like that.
So I've been trying to like, have you heard about the Jutta Cloud?
About what cloud?
Jutta Cloud.
I have not heard of that.
Yeah,
I have not heard of that.
Okay, they have like a limited space, but they like decreased the upload, so it's like taking slow time, but it doesn't cost that much. If I don't want to lose all my stuff, I need to back it up somewhere, and to like buy another pair of drives would cost me too much.
I wonder if a deduplication at a sector level would assist with that kind of data. Like if you were to take sector by sector deduplication, you could probably create some kind of a parity environment between two drives that could rebuild a lot of the data.
This is online backup, so it's depending on your upload speed.
Exactly. That would be brutal. That would be brutal, guys.
And he has.
I have trouble 50, filling up 500 megabits of upload.
I can help you with that, Agamotto, if you need help.
I guess.
I throw stuff out and I back it up on other things.
Yeah.
I think I'm back next week.
Do all you guys have fiber or do you have like coax?
I have DSL. Mm-hmm.
I got coax.
Here in the States, it's mostly coax.
And much down, I guess.
I'm getting 900 down and 50 up.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. Yeah, I'm quite pleased with that. So
I have like and before you moved, you had down and like 25 up. So it's like,
yeah,
it's a bummer.
Yeah, that's still pretty good.
60 up and 5 to add about.
I can't.
That's not too bad either. That'll get
I
you by.
Mine does 60 and 10 if it's behaving.
Yeah, and if you're just like I do broadcasting, right? So I need that upstream, kind of like Eric needs it for backing up his multi.
Yeah, but I made this point yesterday, or whenever it was, a couple of days ago, that my data stays on my network on my devices.
Yes.
I don't use.
Yeah. So then, in that case,
other people's cloud.
Yep. In that case, BP9, I'd be looking at a dual RAID setup, like a RAID 6+1, for example. Yep. And you have
RAID isn't backup. RAID isn't backup. You still have to backup.
No, it's not backup.
RAID, you know RAID that, 6 right? plus 1. 6 plus 1. So you basically have two RAID 6 units. Both of them are mirrored to one another. And you take the 5 or 6 drives out of the second one every week and you put them in a case and you put in the other drives and reboot the server. And it comes back.
Yeah, I see.
Right? That's really the only way you can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things
like
I'm thinking
two Drobos.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's suggesting. Deposit box and run them back and forth.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's a pain in the butt to go to the safe deposit box every week. That's the thing. Yeah. It's already a pain in the butt to back it up every week. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I know I have to do it, but it's just painful.
I found myself a nice little flight box. I got a nice little flight box that has slots for 3.5-inch drives.
Yeah.
And so that helps with that kind of backup.
Mm-mm-mm.
Speaking of backups, one thing that I think that most people do, it is a good thing to do, but one you need to consider. Today, many people have two or more computers. A friend of mine, one of my best friends, he told me about his neighbor. This is 20 years ago. He had three laptops with XP on them, and he had configured everyone to make backups of everything to the other two laptops. So he had three copies of everything. And then one day the house was struck by the power cables were struck by lightning, and it fried all three. So he lost everything. So if you need to have back at least one of the backups, need to always be not connected to anything. So a good solution is to have, if for those who are swapping drives, to have three drives where so you have at least one drive that is not connected to anything at any one time.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they say offsite backup.
Nowhere near the house.
Yeah. That's it. That's right.
Yeah. For the number of times that I've heard somebody who brought in a computer and a backup drive and said, here's my backup, here's my computer. They both got fried because the backup is just a USB hard drive.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's just heartbreaking, right? So, yeah, you got to air gap that thing. So that's all the time that we have, guys. Eric, it's nice to meet you. Good to see you.
Yeah, same way.
And we will see you again for coffee break tomorrow. My break is over. Take care. See
you. I won't be here tomorrow, but yeah.
All right, take it easy, Solboot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.